A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Chapter 5, He Restoreth My Soul. In studying this psalm, it must always be remembered that it is a sheep in the Good Shepherd's care who is speaking. It is essentially a Christian's claim of belonging in the family of God. As such, he boasts of the benefits of such a relationship. This being the case, one might well ask, why then the statement, He restoreth my soul? Surely it would be assumed that anyone in the Good Shepherd's care could never become so distressed in soul as to need restoration. But the fact remains that this does happen. Even David, the author of the psalm, who was much loved of God, knew what it was to be cast down and dejected. He had tasted defeat in his life and felt the frustration of having fallen under temptation. David was acquainted with the bitterness of feeling hopeless and without strength in himself. In Psalm 42:11, he cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Now there is an exact parallel to this in caring for sheep. Only those intimately acquainted with sheep and their habits understand the significance of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there lashing about in frightened frustration. If the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. This is but another reason why it is so essential for a careful sheepman to look over his flock every day, counting them to see that all are able to be up and on their feet. If one or two are missing, often the first thought to flash into his mind is, "One of my sheep is cast somewhere. I must go in search and set it on its feet again." One particular ewe that I owned in a flock of chevaux was notorious for being a cast sheep. Every spring, when she became heavy in lamb, it was not uncommon for her to become cast every second or third day. Only my diligence made it possible for her to survive from one season to the next. One year, I had to be away from the ranch for a few days just when she was having her problems. So I called my young son aside and told him he would be responsible for her well-being while I was absent. If he managed to keep her on her feet until I came home, he would be well paid for his efforts. Every evening after school, he went out to the fields faithfully and set up the old ewe so she could survive. It was quite a task, but she rewarded us with a fine pair of twin lambs that spring. It is not only the shepherd who keeps a sharp eye for cast sheep, but also the predators. Buzzards, vultures, dogs, coyotes, and cougars all know that a cast sheep is easy prey and death is not far off. This knowledge that any cast sheep is helpless, close to death and vulnerable to attack, makes the whole problem of cast sheep serious for the manager. Nothing seems to so arouse his constant care and diligent attention to the flock as the fact that even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can become cast and be a casualty. Actually, it is often the fat sheep that are the most easily cast. The way it happens is this: a heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. If it is cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in this position for several days. If the cast sheep is a ewe with lambs, of course, it is a multiple loss to the owner. If the lambs are unborn, they too perish within her. If they are young and suckling, they become orphans, all of which adds to the seriousness of the situation. So it will be seen why a sheepman's attention is always alert for this problem. During my own years as a keeper of sheep, perhaps some of the most poignant memories are wrapped around the commingled anxiety of keeping a count of my flock and repeatedly saving and restoring cast sheep. It is not easy to convey on paper the sense of this ever-present danger. Often I would go out early and merely cast my eye across the sky. If I saw the black-winged buzzards circling overhead in their long, slow spirals, anxiety would grip me. Leaving everything else, I would immediately go out into the rough wild pastures and count the flock to make sure everyone was well and fit and able to be on its feet. This is part of the pageantry and drama depicted for us in the magnificent story of the 99 sheep with one astray. There is the shepherd's deep concern, his agonizing search, his longing to find the missing one, his delight in restoring it not only to its feet, but also to the flock as well as to himself. Again and again, I would spend hours searching for a single sheep that was missing. Then, more often than not, I would see it at a distance, down on its back, lying helpless. At once, I would start to run toward it, hurrying as fast as I could, for every minute was critical. Within me, there was a mingled sense of fear and joy. Fear it might be too late, joy that it was found at all. As soon as I reached the cast ewe, my very first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep over on its side. This would relieve the pressure of gases in the rumen. If she had been down for long, I would have to lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep with my legs, I would hold her erect, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. This often took quite a little time. When the sheep started to walk again, she often just stumbled, staggered, and collapsed in a heap once more. All the time I worked on the cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. "When are you going to learn to stand on your own feet?" "I'm so glad I found you in time, you rascal." And so the conversation would go. Always couched in language that combined tenderness and rebuke, compassion and correction. Little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. It would start to walk steadily and surely. By and by, it would dash away to rejoin the others, set free from its fears and frustrations, given another chance to live a little longer. All of this pageantry is conveyed to my heart and mind when I repeat the simple statement, "He restoreth my soul." There is something intensely personal, intensely tender, intensely endearing, yet intensely fraught with danger in the picture. On the one hand, this is the sheep so helpless, so utterly immobilized, though otherwise strong, healthy, and flourishing. While on the other hand, there is the attentive owner, quick and ready to come to its rescue, ever patient and tender and helpful. At this point, it is important to point out that similarly in the Christian life, there is an exciting and comforting parallel here. Many people have the idea that when a child of God falls, when he is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with him. This simply is not so. One of the great revelations of the heart of God given to us by Christ is that of himself as our shepherd. He has the same identical sensations of anxiety, concern, and compassion for cast men and women as I had for cast sheep. This is precisely why he looked on people with such pathos and compassion. It explains his magnanimous dealing with down-and-out individuals for whom even human society had no use. It reveals why he wept over those who spurned his affection. It discloses the depth of his understanding of undone people to whom he eagerly and quickly came, ready to help, to save, to restore. When I read the life story of Jesus Christ and examine carefully his conduct in coping with human need, I see him again and again as the Good Shepherd picking up cast sheep. The tenderness, the love, the patience that he used to restore Peter's soul after the terrible tragedy of his temptations is a classic picture of the Christ coming to restore one of his own. And so he comes quietly, gently, reassuringly to me, no matter when or where or how I may be cast down. In Psalm 56:13, we are given an accurate commentary on this aspect of the Christian's life in these words. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? We have to be realistic about the life of the child of God and face facts as they really are. Most of us, though we belong to Christ and desire to be under his control and endeavor to allow ourselves to be led by him, do on occasion find ourselves cast down. We discover that often when we are most sure of ourselves, we stumble and fall. Sometimes when we appear to be flourishing in our faith, we find ourselves in a situation of utter frustration and futility. Paul, in writing to the Christians at Corinth, warned them of this danger. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Admittedly, this may appear as one of the paradoxes and enigmas of our spiritual lives. When we examine it carefully, however, we will not find it too difficult to understand. As with sheep, so with Christians, some basic principles and parallels apply which will help us to grasp the way in which a man or woman can be cast. There is, first of all, the idea of looking for a soft spot. The sheep that choose the comfortable, soft, rounded hollows in the ground in which to lie down very often become cast. In each situation, it is easy to roll over on their backs. In the Christian life, there is great danger in always looking for the easy place, the cozy corner, the comfortable position where there is no hardship, no need for endurance, no demand upon self-discipline. The time when we think we have made it, so to speak, is actually when we are in mortal danger. There is such a thing as the discipline of poverty and privation, which can be self-imposed to do us worlds of good. Jesus suggested this to the rich young man who mistakenly assumed he was in a safe position, when in truth he was on the verge of being cast down. Sometimes if, through self-indulgence, I am unwilling to forfeit or forego the soft life, the easy way, the cozy corner, then the Good Shepherd may well move me to a pasture where things aren't quite so comfortable, not only for my own good, but also for his benefit as well. There is the aspect, too, of a sheep simply having too much wool. Often when the fleece becomes very long and heavily matted with mud, manure, burrs, and other debris, it is much easier for a sheep to become cast, literally weighed down with its own wool. Wool in Scripture depicts the old self-life in the Christian. It is the outward expression of an inner attitude, the assertion of my own desire and hopes and aspirations. It is the area of my life in which and through which I am continually in contact with the world around me. Here is where I find the clinging accumulation of things, of possessions, of worldly ideas beginning to weigh me down, drag me down, hold me down. It is significant that no high priest was ever allowed to wear wool when he entered the Holy of Holies. This spoke of self, of pride, of personal preference, and God could not tolerate it. If I wish to go on walking with God, and not be forever cast down. This is an aspect of my life which he must deal with drastically. Whenever I found that a sheep was being cast because it had too long and heavy a fleece, I soon took swift steps to remedy the situation. In short order, I would shear it clean, and so forestall the danger of having the ewe lose her life. This was not always a pleasant process. Sheep do not really enjoy being sheared, and it represents some hard work for the shepherd. But it must be done. Actually, when it is all over, both sheep and owner are relieved. There is no longer the threat of being cast down. Well, for the sheep, there is a pleasure of being set free from a hot, heavy coat. Often the fleece is clogged with filthy manure, mud, burrs, sticks, and ticks. What a relief to be rid of it all. And similarly, in dealing with our old self-life, there will come a day when the master must take us in hand and apply the keen cutting edge of his word to our lives. It may be an unpleasant business for a time. No doubt we'll struggle and kick about it. We may get a few cuts and wounds, but what a relief when it is all over. Oh, the pleasure of being set free from ourselves. What a restoration. The third chief cause of cast sheep is simply that they are too fat. It is a well-known fact that overfat sheep are neither the most healthy nor the most productive. And certainly it is the fattest that most often are cast. Their weight simply makes it that much harder for them to be agile and nimble on their feet. Of course, once a sheepman even suspects that his sheep are becoming cast for this reason, he will take long-range steps to correct the problem. He will put the ewes on a more rigorous ration. They will get less grain, and the general condition of the flock will be watched very closely. It is his aim to see that the sheep are strong, sturdy, and energetic, not fat, flabby, and weak. Turning to the Christian life, we are confronted with the same sort of problem. There is the man or woman who, because they may have done well in business or their careers or their homes, feel that they are flourishing and have arrived. They may have a sense of well-being and self-assurance, which in itself is dangerous. Often, when we are most sure of ourselves, we are the most prone to fall flat. In his warning to the church in Revelation 3:17, God points out that though some considered themselves rich and affluent, they were actually in desperate danger. The same point was made by Jesus in his account of the wealthy farmer who intended to build more and bigger barns, but who, in fact, faced utter ruin. Material success is no measure of spiritual health, nor is apparent affluence any criteria for real godliness. And it is well for us that the shepherd of our souls sees through this exterior and takes steps to set things right. He may well impose on us some sort of diet or discipline, which we may find a bit rough and unpalatable at first. But again, we need to reassure ourselves that it is for our own good, because he is fond of us, and for his own reputation as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 12, we read how God chooses to discipline those he loves. At the time, it may prove a tough routine, but the deeper truth is that afterward, it produces a life of repose and tranquility, free from the fret and frustration of being cast down like the helpless sheep. The toughness it takes to face life and the formidable reverses which it brings to us can come only through the discipline of endurance and hardship. In his mercy and love, our master makes this a part of our program. It is part of the price of belonging to him. We may rest assured that he will never expect us or ask us to face more than we can stand, from 1 Corinthians 10:13. But what he does expose us to will strengthen and fortify our faith and confidence in his control. If he is the good shepherd, we can rest assured that he knows what he is doing. This in and of itself should be sufficient to continually refresh and restore my soul. I know of nothing which so quiets and enlivens my own spiritual life as the knowledge that God knows what He is doing with me.